Well, we're maybe getting a kind of a late start on it, but since the month is a little more than half over, but April is National Poetry Month. It was inaugurated by the Academy of American Poets back in 1996, and over the years has become the largest literary celebration in the world, with tens of millions of readers, students, K through 12 teachers, librarians, booksellers, literary events, curators, bloggers, publishers, and of course poets, making poetry's important place in our culture, or marking, I should say, poetry's important place in our culture and our lives. They decided that they were going to try to emulate the success of Black History Month in February and Women's History Month in March, when the Academy of American Poets founded National Poetry Month 22 years ago, trying to highlight the legacy and ongoing achievement of American poets, encourage the reading of poems, assist teachers in bringing poetry into the classrooms, increase the attention paid to poetry by national and local media, encourage increased publication and distribution of poetry books, and encourage support for poets and society. Well, with me today are Marcus Cafagna from the Missouri State University English Department and local author David Harrison, who has an elementary school named after him right here in Springfield, and wanted to have them come in and talk about, maybe even read a couple of their own poems, for that matter, to talk about National Poetry Month and what it means. So, gentlemen, I'm kind of throwing the floor open to you for...
Well, good morning, Randy. Thank you for having us on your show.
And, oh, there you are. Okay. I hit a button that I shouldn't have hit.
Okay, shall I start again?
No,
say, hey, Randy.
Yeah. Okay. I think we heard
right,
you.
And Marcus, it's a yes. Pleasure to be with
good
you
morning,
here again. And I think you have you've covered the reason we're here.
Right.
I might drift over just a little bit on the children's poetry side, since that's where I focus.
That
most
is your
of
specialty,
my attention,
yes.
And say that poetry has won the hearts of a lot of young people over the years, as a growing number of poets find that audience to be a delightful one and eager to learn. And poetry in the classroom has earned a place as a teaching tool. So in addition to the fun and joy of poetry in general, now we have put it in the teacher's toolbox, too.
Right.
And poetry well done is an aid to developing reading fluency and understanding and comprehension, vocabulary and sense of the world around. So it's a very useful kind of a genre, as well as a pleasant one to read.
Well, it certainly helps students improve their public speaking skills. I host the Poetry Out Loud competition locally at the Arts Council at the Creamery every year, and so it's always a big deal getting all the area schools to send students in to read poetry that they have. And they've memorized these things, too. This is not just reading poetry. They are reciting poetry.
And well, they learn it, you know, because so much of what we write for young people is in verse. So it has a meter to it and a structured language, and it rhymes more often than not. And it is easier to read. And also is an encouragement to these kids to start writing their own. And what they write may not qualify to the highest standard of poetry yet.
Well,
but why should it? They're beginning.
And, that's right.
And I look back at my first poems and I think, what was I thinking?
You disavow them whenever you can, you know, the early stuff. And Marcus, of course, works very diligently with poetry in the MSU English department.
With college students, both undergraduates and graduate students. And because some of our introductory creative writing classes double as general education classes, we get students from all across the disciplines coming into poetry writing courses. Many of them think they have no idea what a poem is, and I'm happy to say many of them leave the course with a pretty good idea of what a poem is. Some of them go on to be poets themselves. So I'm happy to say that poetry is flourishing in Springfield here on a number of levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, poetry slams and other things go on year-round,
right.
not just during Poetry Month in April.
That's right.
You both brought poems, and we'd be honored to hear one or two from each of you.
all right. And we drew straws, and I get to go first.
Okay.
Because Marcus is a gentleman. here is one from a book called Now You See Them, Now You Don't. It's about the natural camouflage that that animals use to hide or to hunt. So I chose for this one a poem written as a note from a copperhead to the vole it's stalking. Dear Mr. Vole, find me if you can. My skin deceives, helps me disappear among these leaves. Find me if you can on dappled stones, lounging by this pile of tiny bones. Find me if you can atop this ledge, a broken stick, a branch along this edge. Find me if you can, for if you don't, I'll be here tomorrow. You won't.
Yes.
Sincerely, Mr. Copperhead.
Oh, I love it.
Marcus, do you want to? Should we just take turns, or what would you like to do?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. And even though this is not a poem designed for children to listen to, it is inspired by a child. When my son was four, he decided that he was done wearing diapers. And this poem is also about aging and also about ideas of independence that are affected by age, and it's called Diapers. My son wants nothing more to do with them. At 4 and a half, he's made his declaration of diaper independence. He's 4. But my son isn't old enough to understand age. When he's 20, I'll be 70. When he's 40, I'll be gone. Even now, standing before the chalkboard in a room full of 20-somethings, I need leak lock protection. My doctor says, this is what happens to men at my age. We just blow up. After the war, the first disposable was fashioned from a shower curtain by a single woman sweating over a singer who thought snap fasteners safer than safety pins, who thought of it as a boat holding water. And what of the prostate, swelling at its ages? The gods, what were they thinking? Where is the elegance when both the father and the son begin and end their lives? Bare bottoms swaddled in diapers.
Brother, you're preaching to the choir, let me tell you. In more ways than one on that one.
That is
but that really, that just the two contrasting poems and two contrasting styles, that is a great illustration of the wide and unbounded range of poetry, the kinds of things that can be counted as poetry.
Oh, so true, and that's also a good example of poems that can be enjoyed by a very, very wide age span. And here's one that I brought to that falls in that category in a general way, in that I wrote this for a young adult or even an adult book, but kids understand it too, and it's called It's Me, and it's based on a painting by Andy Warhol. It's Marilyn Monroe's diptych. Hey, over here, it's me, the real Marilyn. Shh, don't tell the others. They don't know they're fakes. Hey, over here, it's me, the real Marilyn. Shh, don't tell the others. They don't know they're fakes. Hey, over here, it's me.
And so on and so forth, right?
Right. Many Marilyns in that.
Exactly. I thought that's maybe where you were going, but I jumped to too many conclusions. you have another one?
I do, and it's not inspired by Marilyn Monroe, but in a way there is some resonance between that poem and my own. This poem is called Nicely Woven Inside, which is a misunderstood phrase. During my wife and my honeymoon, we were in Italy, and it's basically about my purchase of a necktie on the street in Italy, and because my own Italian isn't as good as it ought to be, I misunderstood what the vendor was saying to me. Nicely woven inside. A snapshot of my late wife holding up a necktie for the camera. It's actually the tie's back she displays, its inner lining. Nicely woven inside, the vendor blurted. I took the photo on a Roman street shortly after she noticed the unstitched triangular flaps of fabric when the tie's casing came undone. Her manicured fingernails pinched the silken folds open to reveal what I'd missed, a hand-painted nude. I caught her before she burst into a kind of laughter that came first in snorts, then tears. And though the joke was on me, I had to laugh at what the vendor, in his poor English, must really have said. Naked woman inside. I can't be sure, but I think he winked.
But you, yeah, you didn't notice till it was too late.
That's right.
Well, all right, we actually have to kind of cut things short. I can only give you 10 minutes, but it's 10 minutes well spent with Marcus Cafagna from the MSU English Department and local author David Harrison here to talk about National Poetry Month. And David, you're going to be at Barnes & Noble next Saturday, right?
Saturday the 28th from 10 till noon. I'll be signing my newest book, Crawley Schools for Bugs. Who knew that bugs have to go to school, too?
Most bugs I've known seem to have some idea of what they're doing. They have to learn it someplace.
Well, yes, that's where they learned it, Crawley School for Bugs.
That's right. Yeah. And you'll, again, be at Barnes & Noble out on South Glenstone next Saturday the 28th from 10 to noon, signing copies of that and any other books of yours that people might want to purchase.
They have others, too. Yeah.
Well, you can find out about National Poetry Month events all over the country by going to poets.org or follow the Academy of American Poets on Twitter at poet.org. So, gentlemen, thanks for being here. Appreciate it very much.